welcome to The Future is Golden. I'm Ruthie Kim, and this is a podcast where we explore what it looks like to step fully into your purpose, potential, and influence. I'm so excited today. I am joined by Denise Lee Yon. Welcome, Denise. Denise is the co-founder, executive director of the Bay Area Center for Faith, Work, and Tech. She's also a consultant, keynote speaker, brand expert, writer. I mean, this lady does it all. She's also a friend and someone that I just love having in my world. Denise, welcome to the show. How does it feel like to be on The Future is Golden?
I'm so excited, and I always enjoy our conversations. So thank you so much, Ruthie.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, let's dive in because we have a lot of great, juicy stuff to talk about today. Denise, you and I are friends, and that kind of started because we were working together in a coaching relationship. We met at AZA with Joe Saxton and some other incredible ladies here in Northern California. Share with us, like, what initially kind of catalyzed this relationship? How did we end up working together?
Right. Well, you caught me at a time when I was kind of at a key decision moment. I had started up a nonprofit Christian ministry, and it had grown, and I was trying to discern, well, do I continue to grow it or do I go in a different direction? And so part of the reason why I went to Azar was to get some clarity. Mm-hmm. And I remember raising that question to the small group that we that God divinely provided for us to be in together. And I remember you, as I was laying out my options, you so prophetically asked, which decision would require the most faith? Mm. And that was so provocative because I had never thought about that as a decision, like making tool. And so I started to talk with you a little bit more, and I was really at a point when I was needing support in all of these decisions of, well, if I do move forward in leading this ministry, how do I engage my board? How do I engage volunteers, donors, et cetera? And I suspected that you would be able to help me on that journey. So I was so pleased when you said, yes, I will coach you. It was great.
Yeah, I remember that moment. I remember that conversation across the table, and I could see you kind of wrestling. And actually, that question that I offered to you was one that a good friend of mine, Julie, who is a spiritual director, had offered to me at one season of my life. In exploring, like, sometimes every option on the table looks good, and sometimes it's hard to discern. And that is one lens of, like, where would I need to really lean into faith that we can put on some of the decisions that we're making, the decisions that we're thinking through. So I love that that connected us. We started coaching initially around some of these things. I remember some of those conversations. And then we kind of went in a direction that probably neither you or I were expecting. Would you tell us a little bit about that and maybe why that was surprising and just kind of why that was important on your journey?
Yeah, well, you know, as you said, it was a decision that I required a lot of faith. And faith, at least in my mind, requires kind of letting go and kind of a loss of control, which turned out to be a big theme in our coaching sessions. I went back and looked through all my notes from coaching, and I think if you did a word search on the word control, like practically every session you talked about it, because it's something that is so ingrained on me, wanting to control everything. And part of that is, you know, controlling like how I show up and kind of what is expected of me. And continued to work together, what I realized is I was being really driven by me and like kind of my ambition and what I thought I needed to achieve, as opposed to what God really wanted to do in the organization, what the mission of the organization was in the first place, and what I was being called to. So I was really driving versus responding to a call. And that then led me to realize, you know, I've completely lost touch with why I'm doing this, and I need to get reconnected to that.
Yeah, that's fascinating that you're using that word drive there, Denise. And you know, like, I recall in some of our conversations, like, you know, it felt that way. There was like something pushing, and it was pushing you hard, and it was pushing you fast. And I remember some of those things that we would talk through, like, I mean, you were showing up, you had a lot on your plate, you were doing a lot, you know, there was a lot of movement and a lot you were accomplishing. It was all really great work, it was all really important work. But what I was hearing as we were conversing was like, oof, maybe that drive is not actually serving me right now in the season. Maybe it's actually creating some tendencies, some patterns that are maybe gonna hinder me down the road. And about a couple of months into our coaching, I know you took an Alaska trip, and I know there was kind of an epiphany around this. Could you share a little about that?
Yeah, so in the middle of our coaching process, I went on vacation with my husband, and we love bears. And so this trip involved us going out into the tundra, out what kind of in the wild Alaska, you know, we're wearing all this gear and just kind of hunting, looking for grizzly bears. Wow. And I remember one moment we actually ended up kind of on this meadow where there were like four different vignettes of bears around us, like my mother and a cub playing together, and then three bears over here, and then one cub just kind of laying around. It was an awesome, peaceful, just beautiful moment. And I remember feeling so rested and relaxed and in tune with myself and in tune with God at that moment. And I remember thinking, I have not felt this way in so long.
Wow.
I have been so, again, driven by the mission and, you know, trying to accomplish so much. You know, when you start up an organization, like, you're doing everything.
Right.
And I had just not experienced that kind of real rest and real peace. And I realized I realized and then came back and talked with you about it, realized that was really what was holding me back from, I think, being the effective leader that God needed me to be in that season. So not only was it kind of detrimental to me and my own health, but I think it was also holding back our organization.
Wow.
And so that was, you use the word epiphany, and that really was a wake up
call.
Yeah.
Can you say more about that, Denise? Because I'm imagining there's people listening to this who are resonating, high performers, doing really amazing things in the world, especially right here in the Bay Area, where everyone's doing like really huge, great, crazy stuff. But maybe experiencing that drive, maybe starting to feel like misaligned, I'm losing touch. And I wonder if you could say more about how that you could have seen that impacting your organization. Like, what were some of the maybe ripple effects of some of your choices and the ways that you were showing up?
Yeah. You know, one way is that, you know, I always have very high standards and expectations for myself. And obviously that spills over to everyone else. And so I was, you know, asking my board of directors, very wise, generous, kind people, to step up and do far more than what they wanted, expected, and in some cases were capable of. And, you know, because I was willing to push myself into that place, I kind of thought, well, why aren't they doing that?
Wow.
And, yeah, and then also just, you know, being focused more on the stuff that needed to be done versus the people who we were trying to serve. You know, the program that I was running is a deep dive discipleship on integrating your spiritual faith and your professional work. And that is work, that program, that work is, it requires a highly relational approach, because we're talking about people's identity and their meaning and purpose. And I was just kind of going through the motions and like signing people up and, you know, planning this next event and, you know, writing the curriculum and doing all that stuff. And I wasn't, honestly, transparently, I wasn't really caring about the people I was serving. And and I think people can tell, you know, and they know when they are like a project that you are just trying to work on versus a person who you're trying to care for.
Wow. Wow. That's powerful. I'm imagining in my own life, like in, and again, for people listening, the ways that we make people into projects, right? When we are so driven, and you and I, and I think we joked about this, Denise, you and I are both very task driven. We like to get stuff done. We have pretty high capacity of what we like to achieve. And if we are not careful, if we're not healthy, the downside of that is the people in our life that mean the most, whether it's like partners or children or colleagues or people we're serving, can begin to feel that sense of like, ooh, are we just checking something off here? Like, you know, am I really being cared for? Am I really being seen? There's like a fast pace that we miss people because we're moving so fast when we need to slow down. On that topic of slowing down, so I remember you were having this epiphany and starting to see some of these things, and then there was the idea of a sabbatical. And remind me, where did that idea come from? How did that feel when you first thought about that? And I know there's some wrestling here, so tell us a little about that.
Yeah, you know, I'm actually not sure where that I thought came from, because I have been working in the corporate world for 25, 30 years and never had taken more than like a 2 or 3 week vacation.
Wow.
And so the thought of taking a sabbatical, like an extended period of unplugging from work, was, and still in some cases is kind of foreign to me. Like, so I'm not even sure where the idea came up with it. In fact, Ruthie, you probably suggested, well, maybe this is something you should consider. I mean, yeah, because I mean, you know, your approach is not to be directive and to tell me, but to lead me to in a path of discovery.
Right.
And so I think maybe together we realize I need to rest, and I'm not going to be able to rest if I'm just trying to do a weekly Sabbath or like these kind of moments of rest, which I think are really
right.
important, but I needed to really unplug and give myself the space to rest, as well as to get more clarity on really what is God calling me to and what is the next step for this organization. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do that work while I was trying to run the organization at the same time. And
yeah.
so, we decided, okay, I really do need to step back. But as you say, it was a difficult decision. You know, one, to admit that I needed to rest, even to admit to myself that I needed to rest was hard. Then I needed to go to my board, and they were, again, very gracious, understanding. And they're like, yeah, if you need this, we will support you 100%. But then having to tell everyone else and make the plans for, okay, how are things going to go when I'm not here? Because again, I felt like I was doing everything on my own. And if I step back, I feared nothing was going to happen.
Yeah.
And so it was a really difficult decision. Like, can we afford for me to take a rest? Even though in my mind, I knew it would be an important thing for me to do, my heart was kind of like, oh, I'm worried about this. I'm not sure this is right. One of the things that you led me to discover is that I was so focused on all the negative impacts of taking a sabbatical.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm going to lose all these donors. The organization is going to lose momentum. My board members are going to lose faith. It was all about, what am I going to lose? And it was nothing about, what are the benefits? What are the gifts that God might have for me? What are the surprises that are going to just be moments of delight in this? I hadn't been thinking of any of that. And so that was why it was really helpful to have you speak that into me and have me consider, well, okay, yes, we do need to count the costs and we do need to prepare and try to mitigate, you know, whatever problems may arise, but let's look forward to what God will do. Let's have positive anticipation and look for, you know, what actually could happen that would be a great benefit to me doing this.
Wow, Denise, that's a great reflection. And this is fun chatting with you because it's reminding me of our times together. I'm like, oh, that's right. And I do remember when you made that pivot from everything that could go wrong, why it wasn't a good idea, into let's explore this as an asset, not only to you, but to your organization. And there's that move sometimes in coaching, we'll call that move from disempowered to empowered kind of thinking, storytelling. And it can be such a powerful tool to reorient. What stuck out to me too, and what you were just saying was, a number of things, but one of them was this idea that, you know, there's power in moments of rest, in Sabbath and all of that. And I'm sure we'll talk about that in just a moment. But for you in this season of your life, an extended rest was really what you needed in order to kind of step away and make some of those really important decisions. What was it about What became clear to you, I guess, that made you realize, you know what, I'm not going to get this on a Sabbath. I'm not going to get this on a hour, you know, in Golden Gate Park. Like, what were the things that made you think, gosh, I really need to step back?
Yeah, well, I was doing those things and not feeling rested. And that's really actually something that I've been thinking a lot about lately, which is that we can often engage in like the behavior of rest without actually experiencing the emotional and the spiritual and psychological rest that we need. And so, you know, because this program that I'm running is supposed to teach people about how to have healthy rhythms of work and rest, I felt like, okay, well, if I'm going to have integrity, I do need to take a Sabbath. I do need to take time. You encouraged me to start journaling and meditating and just being still. And so I was doing all those things. And yet I was probably even more driven than before. And so it really was this idea that, I do need to completely unplug, and it will be a good thing for both me as well as the organization.
Yeah. And I remember there was sometimes we had conversations where you really did go kind of back and forth on the sabbatical is good. I'm not doing the sabbatical, but no, we're doing it. And at the crux of that, as you were talking about just a moment ago, there was this sense of like loss of control. There was like this letting go of, you know, what would others think? What would happen to the organization? What would donors do? What did it all mean? I wonder if you can maybe share a little bit more about that as you entered into the sabbatical. Did that just immediately like, oh, I don't feel that anymore. I'm totally relaxed and at peace. Or were you still wrestling? Like, what more can you say about that?
Yeah. Well, I think control will always be an issue for me and, you know, on this side of heaven. But I say one thing that really helped a lot, and it was just this really kind of fun, funny moment. So as you said, like leading up to the sabbatical, I was supposed to go a sabbatical January 1st. And literally like in December, I'm still thinking, maybe this is not right. Maybe I should kind of revert my plans. And so we had planned a Christmas party for our organization. And so there were about, you know, 30, 40 people who came, all friends and people, supporters, people have been a part of our program. And so this was when I was going to have to tell everyone, because I had kind of wanted to keep it hush hush. I didn't want people to know. Again, this is my control freak. Don't let anyone know. Yeah. You know, I want to control the message, whatever. So this was good. I was going to tell everyone at this party, and I was so nervous. I really thought, okay, people are gonna like think that I'm weak, that I'm out of control, that this ministry has no future, you know, that I'm not an effective leader, but I'm like, okay, I have to do this, and maybe part of again a great thing about coaching is the accountability that I knew that like if I didn't do it, like going back to you and saying, oh well, I decided to do it, oh my god, so I decided, okay, I'm going to do it, so I get up in front of everyone and I announce I'm taking the sabbatical, and everyone burst out in applause. They just clapped and they were so happy for me. And in that moment, like so many of the fears of loss of control and all of the focus on negativity kind of went away, and it was like, oh my gosh, these people are telling me exactly what Ruthie has been telling me, what God has been trying to tell me, that this is a good thing. Mm-hmm. This is something to celebrate. And it's not something to be ashamed about, but something to claim and to own and to be excited about. And so I think that was a real turning point, so that when I started my sabbatical, I kept on going back to that moment and just saying, hey, if all these people who have been a part of this organization support this decision so much, so positively, that they would actually applaud it, then I must be doing the right thing. Yeah. And so that gave me, I think, a real sense of freedom, which is really kind of the counterbalance that I need and needed versus control.
Yeah, that's powerful. It makes me think that, just reminds me of the importance of the people that we have in our lives. And as we're on this journey of transformation, becoming new people, that including other people. I mean, that was maybe sort of forced. You're like, I gotta tell people. But in that, how sweet that like your community said, yes, we see you. And that seed of we see you and we celebrate this decision you carried that into your sabbatical and went back to that moment. And that was almost like fuel in the moment when maybe you were second guessing. Denise, what has rest looked like since? Are you a rest guru now? Are you like, like, tell us what it's been like since the sabbatical.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'll talk again, kind of from the behavior side and then kind of more of the internal side. So the behavior side, I have much more of a commitment to regular periods of rest, not only like a weekly Sabbath and a monthly kind of day of unplugging. I also have built into the rhythms of an annual personal retreat overnight, and then a semi-annual, like, so on the other 6 months, taking a day off also just to really re-engage with the Lord and kind of recenter and refocus. And so I think I've developed more healthy rhythms. And I will say that I don't feel as guilty about taking them. I kind of feel like, okay, I give myself the permission to take it, and I know other people do. So from a behavior standpoint, I think that I've grown. From an emotional and spiritual and psychological perspective, I really have been focused on understanding why I am so driven and what prevents me from resting, and really doing the work through that. And that, again, will be a lifelong process of me journeying. But I think and I also try to talk about rest a lot more, giving presentations, teaching about it, so that I really engage in what does God say about this? What does the Bible say about this? What leading thinkers in this area advise, what are different ways to experience this kind of rest? And so over time, I've really discovered that in order for me to experience kind of this true rest, this kind of inner rest, I need to go back to the gospel. Mm-hmm. I need to go back to Jesus. I need to continually remind myself that all the work that needs to be done has been done. It is finished, Jesus declared on the cross. Yeah. And to sit in that and soak in that and continually remind myself of that. So I always talk of this phrase that I had picked up from one of my pastors, preach the gospel to yourself. This idea that, you know, we always talk about, you know, sharing our faith and pastors preaching the gospel, but we need to constantly be reminding ourselves of the truth of the gospel and the righteousness and the goodness that God has given to us through Christ. And, you know, if you're like me, I always have these tapes playing in my head. It's like a million things I'm thinking about, a million things I'm either replaying what happened or anticipating what's going to happen. And I need to replace those tapes with this message of the gospel. And so that is one of the things that I often talk with people about is, are you reminding yourself of that you are a beloved child of God.
Wow.
And nothing that you can do will change that. And your work, your worth is not dependent upon your work.
That is such a good word, Denise. I feel like I have so many conversations with myself and with other people around this idea of rest. And I think especially in the time that we're living in, where we're all like connected virtually, where we've all got a lot on our plates, where we're juggling so many different things, there's this wrestle with what does rest look like? I remember one of the first things I did as far as events a few years ago was I hosted these day-long retreats called Reframing Rest. And exactly to your point of the invitation to receive rest rather than trying to earn it. Like I know in my life, I've definitely had that story of like, when I've done enough, I will rest, which is probably when I'm dead, you know, like when I've worked hard enough, when I've got to this level. And I imagine there's people listening who are probably wrestling with the same things, maybe doing the Sabbaths, reading the books, doing the disciplines, feeling like they still need more. How would you encourage someone that's listening that's maybe feeling like I'm so not rested, I'm the furthest thing from rest? Like, how would you invite them, exhort them, encourage them?
Yeah. Well, you just talked about, I think one of the number one things is to reframe what rest is. You know, I do think that we often think rest is a reward from our work, something that we do after we've done a lot of work. And actually, rest is something that God built into a rhythm before work. If you go back to the creation story in the book of Genesis, you'll note that God did all this work for the first 6 days, and then he created man and on the sixth day, and then he rested on the seventh. What that means is that the first day of Adam and Eve's existence was that seventh day of rest.
Wow.
So they didn't work first and then rest. They actually rested first. And that, I think, reveals to us, and remember that God, when he created man, he blessed us and said, you know, this is good. And then, you know, the Sabbath is good. That teaches us that we don't work because we're trying to please God. We rest because God is already pleased with what he has done. And so just that reframing, reminding ourselves that what rest really is. And then I think I've also kind of alluded to this, is I think sometimes hearing, oh, you need to take a Sabbath, you need to be journaling, you need to be doing the prayer of examining, to someone like me who's very achievement and accomplishment oriented, that like is just burden after burden that frankly I feel like great if I did. Oh, look at me, I'm so holy.
Right.
And I feel guilty if I don't. And that is not what those practices were intended to be. So I really try to encourage people, let's not focus on the practices. And please, I don't want anyone who's listening to say that those practices don't have value. They do. But I think that, you know, if when you hear those things, all you're thinking about is, oh, yet another thing I need to do, another thing I need to cross. Put that aside. Start these things, preach the gospel to yourself, rethink rest. And then over time, I think you'll be in a better place to adopt some of those behavioral changes. Mm.
Wow, so good. Denise, I know that you have a lot of really exciting things coming up with the Faith Work and Tech Center. I'd love for you to share, how can people get involved with you, with your work? What are you up to?
Yeah, thank you for asking, Ruthie. So the Bay Area Center for Faith, Work, and Tech exists to cultivate an integration of faith and work to transform people who are transforming the world.
Wow.
And so we have a couple of opportunities. We're actually officially launching this fall. So we have a couple of opportunities related to that launch. One is a Bay Area-wide Faith and Work Summit that we have on November 2nd. And I hope it's okay that it's not a spoiler alert for me to announce that, Ruthie, you will be leading a breakout session at that summit. And I'm so excited. I can't wait. So definitely mark your calendar Saturday, November 2nd, if you're in the Bay Area in Millbrae. That's where the summit will be. And then before that, we are inviting Joanna Meyer, the author of the book Woman, Work, and Calling, which was InterVarsity Press's one of the best books of last year. She's going to be coming to the Bay Area and leading two events for us on Wednesday, September 11th, down in Mountain View. It'll be an exclusive luncheon for women, probably something on the topic of stewarding our power and identity. Mm. And then the next day, on Thursday, September 12th, in the evening, we'll have an open event for men and women on the topic of learning and leading across gender differences in the workplace.
Wow.
And I would encourage, both those sessions are going to be awesome. We had a prep call with Joanna last week, and she is so insightful, just pointed in what she will share. And then we will also have some panels and discussions along with her talk. So I encourage you to mark your calendars for those events as well.
Denise, that sounds amazing. I am thrilled to be with you on November 2nd. Ian, really grateful to have the opportunity to lead a breakout. And the events with Joanna sound fabulous. I plan to be there. I'm looking forward to it. I encourage people to sign up. Thank you so much for your time today, Denise. Thank you for just modeling and just being so transparent about your journey. I feel like a lot of people can relate to the things that you're wrestling with, and you invited us in. You invited us into your story, and that's powerful. And so if you're listening today and you're inspired by Denise, I encourage you, like, think about what rest could look like in your life, how you might want to reframe that. Maybe you're ready for a sabbatical. Maybe you're ready to make some other changes. And also encourage you to show up for the Faith, Work, and Tech events. It's going to be fantastic. Denise, thank you so much, and have a great day.
Thank you, Ruthie.